Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, in the name of the one who is worthy. Father God, we come to you right now praising you that through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can enter your presence. We know that you're here, and we know this is a divine appointment. Nobody's here by accident today. You brought us here. So I pray for the word from you, Lord, and I pray that that word become a seed, that become a harvest, Lord, for you in our lives. May thy will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. If you don't know me, my name's Jeff Godwin. Brother Eric approached me a few days back and gave me the awesome privilege to come and share today. And I'm going to kind of continue on the path of where he's been for the last couple of weeks. And I told the first service, if you're here visiting, the last 2 weeks have been two of probably the best sermons I've ever heard dealing with forgiveness and what to do with that, okay, for a child of God. So if you'll find, I can't tell you how to go back and listen to it, but if you'll find somebody with less gray hair than I have, they can tell you how to get on the internet or the phone or something. Because actually somebody got on there for me and I watched them again, okay? So incredible words, okay, about a very powerful subject in our lives, right? Now, I was talking to Brother Eric the other day about, I said, now when I share, I'm going to be sharing from experience, unfortunately, and not from theory, okay? I'd like to tell you that I learned what I'm going to share. All this came from the Word of God, and I never went through anything called unforgiveness. Because I know that no one else in this room has ever experienced unforgiveness, okay? I know that everybody in this room, as soon as someone hurts, harms, or offends you, you just let it go, okay? You don't ever think about it again, okay? You're not like the person, and again, I'm preaching from experience and not theory. You're not the person who gets hurt, harmed, or offended by someone, you know, oh, so-and-so, and I'll be, you know, well, oh, so-and-so doesn't have any effect on me, okay? And then you're walking right through the middle of the store, and you look up, and here comes the jack wagon, right? And so now you either got to walk straight and talk to him, which you're not going to because he owes you. Okay, he hurt you. And so you dart down the aisle right there, the quickest aisle. And as you dart down the aisle, you run into Sister So-and-so from church. Now you got to act like you're shopping. You're looking for something down that aisle. And then you look up and you're on the feminine products row. Again, I'm not preaching from theory. Okay. Pastor Eric started a couple of weeks ago talking about the importance of when you're offended, when you're hurt or harmed by somebody, not if, but when, right? Okay? You're not supposed to let the sun go down on your wrath. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And he talked about what, and that's, boy, that'd be perfect if everybody would do that. If everybody would keep short accounts, and as soon as something happened to them, an offense happened, you dealt with it immediately. You didn't go to sleep on it, okay? And I'm not going to re-preach those two sermons because they were great messages on how to keep that from happening, okay? Because here's the problem if you do go to sleep on it, okay? An offense involves two things. When somebody hurts you, you determine that they owe you something, right? If they have offended you or hurt you, then it's their job to make it right. Am I right? So now then a debt has been created, okay? The second part of this is a debt has been created and a pain has been experienced. Whenever somebody offends you, they hurt you, and with hurt comes pain. Right? Okay? They've hurt me, and they need to pay for it. Okay? And I don't know about you, but here's what your nature's going to do. When you are hurt, you're not going to react with shout hallelujah. I told the first service, Eric's always using the analogy, because the old carpenter, of hitting his hand with a hammer, trying to drive a nail and hitting his finger or his thumb, okay? I've never heard anybody hit their hand with a hammer and break out in victory in Jesus. You're not going to do it because it goes against your nature. Your nature is you're going to react in anger. You're going to be mad that you got hurt, even if you hit yourself. Right? Now then, when we take that debt and we take that pain and we don't deal with it accordingly, like was brought out in the Word, okay? When we don't deal with it immediately, okay? And then when it tries to come back on us in memories and instances that happened in our life, if we don't rebuke Satan right then the next thing that's going to happen, that hurt or that offense is going to take seed inside of you. It's going to take root inside of you. And then it's going to build what Corinthians called, if we got 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down the word strongholds. What happens, that offense inside of you, that debt and that pain now has taken up root and it's growing. And it becomes a strong, the word stronghold means fortress, okay? It means a palace. It means walled in. That debt and that pain is walled in now and it's not going anywhere. Now, I want us to look at how these things form, okay? Because what we're doing here today is taking this path. It would be wonderful if we all dealt with hurt accordingly, but we don't. It's not, I'll be honest with you. It's not that we don't know how. The truth is we really don't want to. We kind of enjoy holding old jack wagon indebted to us. We want that sucker to pay, right? We're waiting on the cloud to come over and the lightning to come down and God zap the guy. Right? Okay. Other than the forgiveness deal, we'd rather God just get even with him. Okay. Now I want you to take your Bibles and go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Because one of the easiest places is where you see a stronghold get established in a person's life is in a child's life. Okay. When you look at a parent, child, or authority figure in a child, you can see strong, and that's what Paul addresses here, is how strongholds get built, okay? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, fathers, do not provoke, do not constant, the word provoke there means to constantly stir to anger. Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged, okay? He's given the picture here of a parent child, especially a parent, and a parent who instead of edifying and building up is always being critical or criticizing or being abusive. They're hurting the one they ought to be edifying and building up. You follow me? Okay. Now here's the problem with a child. A child doesn't know how to deal with it. Okay. And he says, listen, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. The word there means spiritless or heartless. Okay, what has happened when that child takes those things, okay, and they hang on to them and they become a stronghold inside of them, it begins to shape who they are. You follow me? I was sharing with the first service. Look, you ever dealt with a puppy dog that somebody has been abusive to or hurt and harmed, and you want to go up and pet it, and it just falls down and cowers down? It may start yelping, trying to back up, right? Okay, I mean, it's just giving up. And that's what children will do. Because that whatever that is, that hurt, that harm, that abuse has formed a stronghold in their life, and they go, what the use, you know? I'll just give up, okay? But now here's the other part of that. They'll hold on to whatever somebody did to them. There's a debt created. But then there's something else that comes out of it. Because Paul was talking about the same subject in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 6:4, and he says, fathers, do not, he takes it a step further, do not provoke your children to wrath. Okay? In other words, not only are you going to shape who they are, you're going to shape what they do. What they do is going to flow out of who they are. You see, when you are constantly, and again, I'm just using a parent-child relationship, and I'll tell you why in just a second. When you are constantly abusing, hurting, or harming, okay, they are experiencing pain. They are hurt people. And you've heard Pastor Eric say it before, hurt people hurt people. Right? Okay. You say, well, you're talking about a parent-child relationship. All right, let's talk about mine and your relationship. Okay? Forget your earthly father. Let's talk about a spiritual Satan who knows your heart and how you feel about offenses and how you handle them. You follow me? Okay? And here you are. Somebody has hurt and harmed you. Now, it may have been from childhood. It may have been going on for decades. But they have hurt and harmed you, and they owe you. You have experienced pain. And if you have refused to forgive them and let go, then what you're going to do, I promise you, the thoughts and reminders of those hurts, Satan is going to make sure they come back at you. Right? And there's going to be circumstances in your life. You see, he said the danger here with fathers, because they're right there in a child's life, is what they're doing, the abuse, the offense is going on constantly. Somebody can offend you just one time, and if you refuse to forgive them, you want to hold that sucker hostage, okay? Then that debt that you think they owe and the pain that comes out of that grows and grows and grows, not on them, but in you, right? And now then, this is where anger, malice, wrath, evil speaking, all those things that Paul told us in Ephesians 4 to put off, all those things are flowing out of who we are, the hurts that we refuse to let go of. You follow me? We sit there and we experience this thing called pain. And in this pain, you know what us humans do with pain? We try our best to sedate it. We want to make the pain go away. So here we are. We are refusing to let go of hurts and pains of the past. And because of that, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And they have a more toxic effect on you. Am I right? Okay. Now then, you know what you're doing? You're refusing to let go of so-and-so in the past, but now guess what? You're hurting the people in the present. That's why the sins of the father go on from the third to the fourth generation. Because of that which you're hanging on to, you're letting it flow now. Your anger, your bitterness, okay? Listen, do you know that some people, this can get so strong in your mind and in your soul, everything becomes an offense and everybody becomes an offender. Does that make sense? And now you're angry and you're bitter at life and everybody's hurting you, right? And now you're burying yourself. You're trying to get rid of the pain. You're trying to sedate the pain and you're getting addicted to whatever you can find that will calm it, right? When I was in school, back in college, in psych, we had to do studies about this one issue of forgiveness. It amazed me in my research how many hospitals across the country made the comment that if they could get their patients to understand, grasp, and receive the idea of forgiveness, 50% of their hospital beds would be empty. Okay? Because of the physical effects of unforgiveness on their life. Dr. Carl Mentoring, a noted psychiatrist, once made the comment. He was the head of mental hospitals, okay? And he went as far to say, if I could get my patients to understand God's forgiveness of them and their ability to forgive other people, 75% of my patients would walk out in the morning. Okay? That's what you're doing to you when you refuse to forgive. That's what a stronghold of unforgiveness looks like. You follow me? So what do we do about it? Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in that Sermon on the Mount, Cord just quoted it a while ago during communion time, Jesus gives us a model pattern of prayer, okay? And I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but in that model of how we're to pray, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, it says we're to say, "And Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," okay? Now that's verse 12. Verse 12 has a condition clause. Okay? That's verse 14. It's the only part of the prayer that has a condition. Okay? Verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Now, we got to understand the word forgiveness. The word forgiveness is the Greek word aphiemi, and it means to lift this off of me, deliver me from this, okay? Now, I want you to understand why you're asking that, because I've had some interesting conversations with seminary professors about this one issue, this condition clause, and here's what the Lord showed me. If he doesn't show it to you, that's your business, okay? Pastor Eric talks about this all the time. When you and I get saved, we get saved from the penalty of our sins, right? When you and I confess that we're a sinner, we confess our sins, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the holy, sinless Son of God, that he died in our place to pay for our sins, and we receive him as Lord and Savior, then payment for my sins, they're done. Am I right? And so we have salvation passed for the penalty of my sins. We have salvation present, being saved from the power of my sins. Hello? Then there's salvation future. One day, when mortality puts on immortality, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Right? Okay, however you want to look at this, good news or bad news, you still got sin. Even though you done passed over here, we still got sin over here. Right? Okay, and one of the big sins is the sin of unforgiveness. Okay, so what I'm asking here, when I'm asking God to forgive me, I'm asking him to deliver the power of this sin off of me. You see, God's got a job to do once I get past point A. God's job in point B is to conform me into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And he's to use the person of his Holy Spirit to do that. Right? And when I have sin in my life, I'm grieving and quenching the person that's supposed to be changing me into the image of Christ. I'm fighting against him by hanging on to that which was done to me. Right? So, when I'm asking God, forgive me, I'm saying, God, deliver me from the power of this sin. Here's the condition. Okay? Here's what you're praying. God, forgive me for what I'm doing. And God's going, I'd love to. But for me to get the power of this off of you, I got to take care of what's causing it. There's your condition clause. For me, our God is a gracious God. He will only remove what you're willing to release. He will only remove what you're willing to let go of, right? So he says, I want to. I want to deliver this from you. Okay? I want to deliver you from the power of this. Okay? But you got to let go of it. And folks, just like I told the first service, that is so easy to preach. But when you got a death grip on somebody and you're not about to let go of that sucker till they pay or till they make it right, do any of y'all relate to that? The only person you're choking is yourself. Okay? When we ask for forgiveness, okay, for God to fix what we're doing, God's got to remove what's causing it. And we got to let it go. Plain and simple. Okay? How do you do that? Another part that I'm not crazy about. Luke 11, verse 4. Jesus' disciples came to him this time. This isn't the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' disciples came to him and asked him, said, teach us how to pray the way John taught his disciples how to pray. He said, okay. And he gives the same basic model, but he changes up that forgiveness part just a little bit. He says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. In other words, guys, I'm expecting you to release, let go of those who have harmed you. What happens when, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to not let the sun go down on our wrath. Jesus even teaches us that when somebody offends you, you need to go to them right then and let's get it taken care of. Don't even bring your gift to the altar, okay? And if they won't forgive you, then take a brother with you next time. Okay, I told the first church, most of us are going, great, we can beat him up. That's not what he means, okay? He's wanting you to deal with it. Now, I'm going to break this to you. They still may not apologize. They may not even acknowledge they've done anything. But that's an irrelevant issue, right? Because it's up to you to do this little thing right here, and it's called cancel their debt. That's what that verse was saying. Father, forgive us our sins as we cancel the debt of what they owe me, of what you have decided they owe you. And folks, months ago now, again, I come from a Baptist background, and don't leave after I tell you this. Several months ago, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit like I had never had before. Okay? And in that encounter, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, Jeff, you got something in the way. And I said, what? And he said, it's unforgiveness. It's in the way. I thought, it's not in the way. I've dealt with it. I had not. I thought about it all the time. I'd dwell on it. I'd get mad about it. Y'all ever done that? Stir up all those emotions again. Make me mad all over again. Hey, he said, Jeff, I'm just telling you, it's in the way. And that's when he revealed to me Luke 11:4. He told the disciples when they prayed, they got to cancel the debt of what they thought somebody else owed them. And I'll never forget sitting there at that kitchen table, and I got mad. I'm serious. You want me just to let them go? God, you know what they did to me. You know how long. You know the hurt. You know the pain. You know everything. And I'm just supposed to let them go? And I'm telling you, I felt like I was in heaven. And Jesus looked right at me, and he said, that's what I did. I paid for it, and I just let it go. Jeff, everything you owed me, I just let it go. Okay? And I can promise you, for the first time in my 60-something years, I finally felt like I was free. Yeah. And the only reason I tell you that is I'm telling you, in the room with this many people, do you know that Jesus saved you to bring you out of bondage into the promised land? Do you know that Jesus saved you? He came to set the captives free in the opening of the prison doors to those who were held captive. Did you know he did that for you? He didn't want you back in bondage. He didn't even want you in the wilderness. He wants you in the promised land. But folks, you can't get to the promised land dragging Egypt. You follow me? I don't know who that is in your life. I don't know how many of those people are in your life. And it doesn't matter. I do know that what matters, though, is you're going to have to let them go. You got to let them go, and to let them go, you've got to decide they don't owe you anything anymore. Why? They couldn't pay it back anyway. Some of them aren't even alive anymore. Right? That's why he got on the cross. Right? He nailed them all up there. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask everyone stand just very quietly. I'm going to ask every head bowed. The praise team is going to come. I know we have counselors coming forward. My prayer for you, my pleading for you, if God right now, through the power of his Holy Spirit, is revealing to you a person, a pain, a debt of the past, and it still continues to eat you up from the inside out, I pray today become Liberation Day. Do you know the only thing that holds a stronghold up is what's inside? And do you know that when what's inside is out of the way, the walls fall down? It's not a stronghold anymore. If you'll bring that debt, whatever it is you're hanging on to, and lay it on this altar, let the walls collapse and walk away a free person. Father God in heaven, I know you saved us to set us free, and yet we still cling to the bonds, Lord, the chains of unforgiveness. So Father God, break chains, tear down walls, cancel debts, and set free. May thy will be done. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen.